You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's a reason more pros choose Redneck blinds over any other blind on the market. Combining amazing quietness, scent control, and usability features, you have the ultimate hunting blind. Give them a call or check them out online at redneckblinds.com.
Dakota Silence, we're embracing better. Our focuses, revolutionary concealment, extreme silence, enhanced thermal efficiency, purpose-driven functionality. Unheard, unnoticed, uncompromised.
You're listening to the Outdoor Podcast, proudly presented by Six Hour and created by Bowhunter Planet. Enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Outdoor Podcast. It's myself, Tim, along with Dave and Kevin tonight, and joining us on the call, we have Eric from Gas Bowstrings. Eric, it's great to see you. How you doing tonight, man?
Good. Thank you.
Good deal. So it's been a year, hasn't it? It's been pretty busy, I can imagine.
Yeah, it has. And we're right in the middle of our busiest peak season or busiest busy season ever. We've been really fortunate. We've grown. Every year we've been in business. Just celebrated our sixth year anniversary of being in business, and we've had exponential growth every year, and the crazy part is that you take a year like we had last year, and we had such a giant year, it's like, all right, at some point this is going to level off, but it hasn't. It will sometime, and I know it will, but it hasn't. And the crazy part about that is that it's not, I know everybody, there's a lot of people who are busy, but we end up, the market share is what we're, it seems like we get more and more dealers every year that, that are coming on board with us and partnering with us for their bowstring needs. And it's just been absolutely crazy.
It's awesome. We call that as positive problems, right?
Correct. Yeah, for sure.
Growth is always good. So what I was actually curious about too is that growth that you're seeing. Do you see that? Do you see that growing more on the target side, the hunting side, or is it a pretty good mix between the two?
It's a good mix. We make a lot of investments as far as trying to be active in both sides, right? So, on the target side, we're super active in having a lot of relationships with many of the top archers in the country, actually in the world, that choose to shoot our strings, and we have great relationships there. We're also present there. We do things like we'll sponsor the ASA, we sponsor USA Archery, World Archery, NFAA, the feeder programs like S3DA, that kind of stuff. So we're really involved and active in that side of stuff that grows the sport side, and just being there, that's a big thing for us. On the hunting side, there's different consumers with bowstrings. You have your educated consumer that knows exactly what they want. They know they want a set of, blank bowstrings, whether that's Gas or any of the other companies. They know what they want, and that's what they, that's what they go after. They come in asking for that. Then you have your other customer, which is, it's a good percentage of the customers out there. They're brand agnostic, right? So they come in, they see their local dealer, they hand them their bow and, you know, $150 and say, put strings on this thing. You know, that's where we work hard on that side, you know, supporting the dealer, supporting the pro shops and really getting in on that level right there. So we're kind of attacking it from a lot of different angles right there, rather than just trying to be, you know, one thing or focus on one thing. We kind of understand, you know, the industry as a whole, there's multiple ways for us to really, kind of make sure that we're addressing, you know, all the different people's needs.
Awesome. And I do know you guys have different lines, of strings for different bows. Can you walk us through your lineup and what the differences are between them?
Yeah, you bet. So the one thing we don't necessarily believe in, or I don't, I've never really felt like they're, you know, I don't believe in doing like a good, better, best, right? So if you get a set of gas strings, it's going to be a premium set of our, you know, all comes with the same warranty, the same guarantees, the same process, our TTS, which is total tensioning system. So whether that's, you know, one set or a different set or anything, you know, in between right there. So it's not a matter of having different tiers, but just different things that kind of hit some different points. So our most popular is our high octane custom. And that is what, you know, there's like 55 or 56 different colors that BCY offers. And we pretty much offer all of that. It's 452X. Everything's built with our TTS, total tensioning system. It has, full customization is available. So any color servings, any color strings, any two colors, any color speed knocks, you know, all that customization is completely full at that point. Our next set is we have what's called our Ghost XV line. So that's kind of something that's exclusive to us. It's a slightly different material blend. And we have that in a ghost white and then in a camo. The reason we limit the options on this right here is that, you know, what we're trying to do there is create, you know, ultimate consistency, so that we're not blending any different, colored materials. We don't have like a black and a flow green that might have a little bit more extra dye and wax in it or whatever. So it gives us an opportunity to take the next level with our controllables at that point, you know, and what we do. So while you can customize the serving colors on these right here, you just can't customize the colors other than you have your two choices, white and camo. A lot of the target shooters, you know, choose that white, and ghost camo is something that's super popular for us. It matches pretty much any different bow out there as far as the camo colors. Well, there's something to go. And then we also have our Freak Show strings. So we partnered up with a guy named Jesse Broadwater, who's pretty well known in the industry as a kind of a tuning guru and, you know, a very accomplished professional archer, one of the best to ever play the game. And, you know, in doing that, he, you know, originally he had switched some bow manufacturers, and I reached out to him to say, hey, listen, are you interested in, you know, working with us, you know, from a sponsorship standpoint? He said, well, no, not really. I'm looking to do my own thing. we're going to work on some stuff, and he wanted to build his own strings. What I ended up doing, was, you know, we worked out a partnership for us to build the strings for him. So, we have a partnership with him. So, and that's a 100% ultra low wax 452X. And, awesome. We have, some other little processes that we use and some cells that are basically designated to Jesse and the way that we do stuff built, you know, his specifications. And then, the last one we have was a new one that we did this year was our high octane blackout. And what we found was there were so many people that love to wait to the last minute, or, you know, basically don't care about color. Black is fine. So what we did is, we take some time of the year when we have, you know, our production's not as crazy as it is right now. And we take about 100 and I think it was about 125 different bow models that we had, and then a couple popular crossbow models. but we, you know, we built some stock ahead on that right there, you know, same process and everything else, but we keep these in stock. So, you know, while there's a little bit of a lead time on strings, if somebody was to call up and order custom strings, somebody can call up and say, you know, hey, I've got a, you know, I've got a Matthews Halon 32, you know, a couple year old bow or whatever. We keep strings in stock for that. So we have those out there hanging. We could pull them off the peg, drop them in a package. You know, I mean, honestly, somebody could call us at noon and have strings in, on their doorstep the next morning if they needed them. So we've kind of done that. So those are the different series that we have.
That last one, more of like a quick ship, right? That's what you're talking about.
In stock. Yep. Ready to go. Cool. Black, right? What color black do you want? And that's, you know, it's no frills, but the thing of it is that it's built in the same process, carries the same warranty. You know, same quality. It just, you know, it isn't flashy or pretty.
You got that right though. Cause if somebody's waiting to the last minute, it's a need, not a want at that point.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. The guys who are calling for those right there, they're, you know, it's Tuesday and, by the way, I'm going hunting this weekend and, I need a set of strings.
Right on.
It works out. It's actually amazing. I thought that would be a good, you know, a good supplement to what we do. I had no idea that it would be as popular as what it is. We pull, on average, we probably pull about 50 sets a day out of our blackout stock that we send out to customers. So it's, I guess there's a lot of procrastinators, but that's, I'm probably no different. I'd probably be the same way. So.
Eric, tell us about how, someone would know, I guess, like, when should someone, first off, on a compound bow, when should they change your strings? How often? And then what's the advantage to using something like gas compared to, like, just the stuff that comes with it from the store itself, like when you buy the bow?
Sure. So to answer the first question, that really depends on how hard you are on your equipment. I think that, you could say as a general rule of thumb, you know, if you're not shooting your bow very often, if you're getting it out and shooting, you know, a couple hundred shots in the summer to prepare and then you got through the season and you're not being rough on it, you're protecting the fibers, you're not dragging it through the brush a bunch and everything else. I mean, you know, you probably, you know, every couple of years, I mean, even 3 years, I think you're okay with a set of strings. If you're somebody that's a little bit harder on the equipment, if you're shooting your bow year round, if you're shooting your bow year round, you're putting some significant arrows out of it or you're hard on your stuff. I mean, if you're Western hunting, you're dragging your bow through, you know, a lot of brush or whatever, then it's probably an annual thing. I see a lot of people that, you know, have some, you know, expectation that a set of strings, you know, is going to last them, you know, years, right? When, you know, they're out there shooting, you know, a couple hundred arrows a week and they're rough on their stuff and everything else. I mean, it's a consumable item. You know, there's only so much life that you have in a set of strings, and it doesn't matter who builds them or how well they're built. That's just the way that is. So, I think your strings will kind of tell you, I mean, you know, when you look at them and you just pay attention to how they are, you know, if you've got a set of strings that's been stable on your bow for forever, right? Let's say it's, you know, it's shot in, you know, the bow's been tuned and everything else. And, you know, they're starting to fray really, really bad. That's fine. Okay. We can wax them. We can do some stuff there. But all of a sudden, you know, you lose poundage or your bow goes out of time or whatever on a set of strings that's been, you know, shot in after a while. Well, then it's 100% time to change those because there's a breakdown somewhere. It's lost stability. There's a breakdown in the fibers. There's something happening where this string needs to be changed. And that's, I think that's important to note, that you just kind of have to pay attention and look at it. You know, that, you know, it's not like a stabilizer. You know, you put a stabilizer on there and 100% it's going to last, you know, forever, you know, until you decide to change it out or, you know, give it to your nephew or, you know, whatever, and upgrade it. A string at some point is going to wear out, you know, and the amount of time that is based on your usage and, you know, and care. You know, we put a 1-year warranty in place because, you know, There's some people that do shoot enough to say that they could potentially wear out a set of strings in a year, but you know, we put a 1 year warranty in there because I mean, that's from a craftsmanship standpoint, that pretty much covers that, you know, if after that it's one of those weird deals. I mean, you know, like I said, if somebody really, really shoots a lot, yeah, they could wear their set of strings out in a year and they might have to change them annually.
And strings are one of those things where if you have like a catastrophic failure, it's going to affect the entire boat, right? It's not,
oh yeah,
it's not like, you know, it's not like a rust that might break or something like that, where you can just replace it and the rest of the bow is good. Your spring breaks, that bow is, it could be completely done at that point or cost you a lot more money to fix. So
yeah, out of curiosity, just by comparison, what about these elite competitive archers that are shooting in these competitions, target guys? How often are those guys changing strings?
So if they're using the same bow, let's say a guy takes his or gal, whatever, they take the same bow and they're going to run it indoor season and they turn around, they shoot that bow outdoor season as well. Some of them may change strings a couple times a year. You know, just in doing that, if it's a bow that they're, you know, they're just hammering away shooting every day, every day, every day. That's just, and some of them feel, and I've had this, I've had this in the years past and stuff like that. But sometimes a bow just seems like it feels better with a fresh set of strings, you know, after you've shot one and you've shot a lot, you know, thousands and thousands of arrows. And then I've got people that are also that same level of elite archer, and they'll be, you know, going on a year and a half in their strings, and I'll look at their stuff or I'll think to myself, be like, you know, that guy hasn't ordered strings in a while or whatever. And they're still shooting the same bow, just shooting the snot out of them right there. And, you know, they're okay with it. So I think it's what everybody's tolerance is for some of that stuff. You know, being a string maker and I've always built strings, you know, for as long as I've been in the sport, I was probably on the latter side of that. You know, I'd probably shoot them right to the very end till I couldn't anymore, you know? But I also knew what to look for. Like if my bow started getting a little bit squirrely and things, I'm like, okay, yeah, I gotta change these out. I gotta change my strings. But you know, I'm not, I was never about, you know, swapping them out early just for the sake of fresh strings, you know, so to speak.
You said earlier, you mentioned it a couple of times, your total tensioning system, your TTS system. Can you walk us through what the benefits of that is?
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, I think if you've been around archery enough, you know, and you're going to see bowstrings is the most flooded category there is in all of archery as far as products go, right? I mean, your barrier to entry into building strings is, you know, some material that you can buy from, you know, distributors or direct. And, you know, there's some commercially available string jigs. And then all of a sudden you have a bowstring business, right? It seems like it's that simple. And everybody's going to talk about how they got this a proprietary system and they do this and they do that. And everybody's got the best system. And, you know, truly there's more than one, you know, there's multiple ways to skin that cat. Our way is a little bit different than everybody else's. Everybody's going to tell you that theirs is the best. Their total tensioning system is kind of something that's based off from, you know, my 30 plus years of doing this. And some of the other people that I had enlisted when we started GAS, you know, we go a different depth as far as, you know, how deep we go in trying to tension. You know, a lot of people will simply build a string, you know, twist it up, you know, throw it on a stretcher, as they call it right there, and you know, call it a day. Ours goes a lot deeper than that. We actually get down to the fiber level. You know, I've had a lot of experience in the past, you know, with fibers and tensioning, and even have an actual fiber patent on some stuff on bowstring material. So what we look at that really, like I said, more of a base level and stability. So a lot of that happens right from the get-go. So rather than, you know, us stretching something at a static tension, it all starts with our layout process and how that's done under tension. you know, another piece of that is that, that we take out a lot of the human element that comes with that. You know, we've got amazing string builders that work for us, and a lot of them are tenured. You know, average string builder probably, you know, has more than 5 years experience with us. Some of them worked for other string manufacturers before they worked for us. But what one of the things that makes our process great is that we take a lot of the human element out of this, you know, where somebody might be a little bit more heavy handed than the next person who's a little bit, you know, lighter handed when they're doing the layout process. Through our total tensioning system, we basically, that's kind of the equalizer in all of this. And that takes all those strands and it takes them from, you know, the potential for inconsistency to creating 100% consistency before it ever, you know, has any of the other, you know, pre-tensioning or any of the other stuff with it. So it's a total process. And, you know, it starts, like I said, starts right at the beginning, right at the fiber level with what we do with every individual strand, and ends with how we, you know, how we tension, how we twist, you know, peaks and spikes in the tensioning process of how, when we're doing the pre-tensioning and everything else, it's we've built, you know, customized equipment around that to do that. And it's a, you know, it's a really good system. You know, it's one of those things that we spent a lot of time, before we ever went into business. You know, we all came at this with a background in bowstrings. You know, I'd all the years that I'd had, and I had a couple other guys that came on board with me that also had, you know, a lot of experience, and we put our heads together, we collaborated, we tested, you know, we spent several months, you know, basically kind of in the testing lab, so to speak, you know, that we'd built in, you know, came up with a system that we felt was really dialed in. Now, the one thing I'm also proud to say is that, you know, we believe in continuous improvement. So I've got an awful lot of experience on that floor, and we've got an open door for people to come out and say, hey, listen, I got an idea and I think this could be better. And, you know, we try that stuff, you know, we work on that, and we've made some small revisions to our process, you know, from where we started on day one to where we are today. And it's because of the folks that have been with us and, you know, wanting to speak up and raise their hand and say, hey, I got an idea that I think could make this better. So a very collaborative, you know, culture, and, you know, and that's helped us to, you know, to improve and to constantly get better.
Today's episode is brought to you by Sig Sauer, keeping you safe in and out of the field, but also keeping you in the field longer with Sig's lineup of cross rifles, optics, ammo, and more. Learn all about it at SigSauer.com. Also brought to you by Tinks, Dead Downwind, Burris, Vapor Trail, Stokerized,
Arizona Archery Enterprises,
Apex Rewards, and Easton.
Last year, Reveal by Tacticam quickly became the most sought-after scouting camera in America, making cellular scouting available to any hunter. We ask our users how we can make this outstanding camera even better, and this is our answer. Introducing the all-new Reveal X. Even easier setup, better battery life, faster trigger speed, on-demand HD photos, extended detection range. This season, find out what all the buzz is about. Get a new Reveal X by Tacticam.
You know, I truly believe, like today, for example, even though that our production, and everybody wants to use the word mass produced, right? So they think of, you know, one guy that's doing it in his basement, you know, and it's one set of hands and he has pride in what he does. They all want to talk about mass produced, but I honestly believe, you know, what we do, that's the biggest misconception about, you know, a business like us, is that people think that it's mass produced when honestly, you know, our strings today are probably, well, there's no probably about it. I mean, they're better than they were a year ago. And I can tell you a year from now, they're going to be better than they are today, because we are constantly improving. We're doing things to get better. We monitor, you know, any kind of warranty or defective stuff that we have. And just the way that we work with our string builders and the accountability culture we have. I mean, I know that everybody's, you know, they're incentivized on the quality of strings that they build, not just necessarily the, you know, the quantity. So that's, you know, that's, it's helpful. And a lot of that goes back, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, again, they go back to the single string maker. And I think that that's great, because there's a lot of people that build strings and they're craftsmen and they're amazing at what they do. And I was that person once upon a time, you know, many, many moons ago. You know, I could build an incredible string, and that's, you know, that's how this all starts, right? But creating process is what creates scalability. You know, if you're one guy and you're the magic, it's never going to become anything more than a, I don't want to say hobby, because I think that's not fair to the guys who, you know, there's a handful of guys that do this as a full-time job who build strings, and they do an amazing job of it, you know, just, you know, one person or a person and a family member or something, but there's no scalability there. And that's the, if you're the magic, then you're going to be very, very limited as far as how you can grow that. What it takes to do it at the level that we do it at is process. The process has got to be there, and our total tensioning system, as this all started out, the question, you know, is a big part of that. And that's something that I'm extremely proud of, and I'm extremely proud of the team we have, because we, you know, we're able to do that, but we have such a good process in place. And, you know, we haven't hired a new employee in, I don't know if we've had anyone other than maybe a couple of rehires we've had this year, some people that are experienced, but, you know, when we bring somebody in, there's a very, very specific method that, and how everybody's trained and how they learn and the process of where they start and where they go to, and, you know, how they move through the entire thing. And it's, you know, again, very process and procedure based.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Based.
It sounds like your philosophy as a company is consistency, and that feeds down to your product. And it takes me back to what you said as to how much growth that you've seen, right? That scalability factor and being able to maintain that growth, because you're not going to have growth without consistency at all. Because, you know, your reputation is built upon, you know, those people that are buying it. And, you know, a lot of word of mouth, I have to imagine, in that industry is, you know, in that world as well. So that makes a lot of sense. I'm a crossbow guy, so I have to ask this question. So We've seen crossbows, and I see that you have some like ravens on your blackout and that kind of thing. So that's what kind of piqued this question for me. So we've seen crossbows in the very recent past hit some really amazing speed numbers, right? 500 feet per second, over 500 feet per second. Has that changed the way that you have to manufacture those strings, or has the material and the technology of strings been able to keep pace with the way that part of crossbows is going?
So yes and yes. The base materials haven't really changed a lot. I mean, there's been some new introductions of a few materials, but from a crossbow standpoint, a lot of the stuff that we do on crossbow materials is with stuff that's been existing and on the market. I think you have to be really diligent as far as, you know, what material you use, both string material and serving material, for the specific application. And crossbows have absolutely pushed the envelope on what those materials are able to do. I think that, you know, in some cases, you know, we might build crossbows is kind of where we draw the line on some stuff. So I'll give you an example. So there's a lot of customization that's available in a compound bowstring. When it comes to crossbows, that customization is a very, very small window. And the reason that it's a very small window is because now we're dealing with safety and performance concerns that, you know, we just don't have room to play. You know, the serving is stuff, you know, we've had to get very creative in the ways of, you know, let's just say, you know, double serving, where we serve with a base layer of one material in that particular size. And then we reserve that string again with another material. And what you do when you do that is instead of, serving with a much larger single material, you create a harder surface, you know, something that's a little bit more, you know, solid. And we've had to do that for some of the center servings, and, you know, let's say like some of the super fast crossbows that they have out there. I mean, it's just, it makes it a little bit more difficult. You know, sometimes you'll have a different strand count and material on the cables than you will on the string, because, you know, the cables, what you're really balancing everything. So a crossbow, I'm going to get technical for a second, is that you have such a thump. Let's take like the platform that, you know, Raven and 10 point and a couple of them have, where they have these very, very short, you know, pushing the 400 plus, you know, envelope of stuff. You have the, from a user performance standpoint, right? If your cables and strings are stretching and everything else, you know, you're losing velocity out of your crossbow, and all of a sudden now it's changing your drop out at the longer yardages, and, you know, or your marks on your cams are coming around, and so it creates a plethora of problems. If, you know, we can build strings that absolutely stop that, it's 100% within our technology and our reach to build cables and a string where that will not move ever, right? But that creates another problem. Without any give in that system, now we go down a path of we're dealing with potential failure. It's harder on the entire system. It's harder on the limbs. It's harder on the pockets. It's harder on the strings. It's harder on all these things. So it's finding the blend between having, you know, providing some elasticity in the overall system that'll still allow the shock absorb and to give it a little bit, but creating that won't just go wild and move all over the place and create problems for the end user, where they can have consistency and, you know, set their marks and know that by the end of the season that they're still going to be, you know, out at 50 yards is still going to be 50 yards and they're not hitting low or losing speed. So it's created some of our biggest headaches, I would say, and some of the most creative things that we've had to do have been around, you know, some of the crossbows and everything else, because, you know, we care, number one, obviously we want everybody to have a great user experience with our product, right? So they say, you know, I'm gonna use a set of gas strings, whether that's on a compound or crossbow. We want to make sure we're providing them the product that gives our customers the best end user experience. Well, you know, in a lot of cases, that's it's a difficult world when you start dealing with crossbows. It'd be very easy to, you know, slap a set of strings together like the OEM, you know, stuff that comes on them. But, you know, they're going with our strings. They're looking to upgrade, right? So in doing that, we have to go the extra mile to figure out what the right application is for the crossbow.
That makes absolute sense. And I'm sure our viewers are definitely understanding that, you know, the way that you guys approach this, it's not your traditional way of approaching, right? You guys are really taking it to the next level of thinking out what goes into it and what all the elements are that need to be thought out and to produce a consistent and, to your point, safe product.
You know, right. One of the things I was wondering, we talked about with the regular bows, you know, how often you change the strings. With these high powered crossbows, you know, I mean, and they're guys getting them out of the box and maybe shooting them for 3-4 years. I mean, how often do you think those should be looked at and changed? Because
every season, every season, 100% every season. If you have one of these, we'll call it one of these high performance 400 feet per second plus crossbows, even if you pull that thing out and you shoot it, you know, a dozen times, as long as you're going to put that back in the case and everything else next year, you every season. And the reason I say that is because they're under so much pressure and so much tension, even while they're just sitting there at rest. Some of these things, the design they have, you know, some of these four cabled crossbow systems with these tiny cables that, I mean, and they, listen, the manufacturers, you know, they're the ones that make the design, right? You know, that you can only have, you know, 80 to 90,000, you know, total diameter in the end servings. Well, you can only put so many strands in, you know, in a little cable like that to achieve that. And it's one of those things, you know, like you talked about earlier, Dave, I mean, Tim, you mentioned that, you know, hey, you can have catastrophic failure. And, yeah. And with that failure, a lot of other things happen. Well, there's just no point in chancing it with a, you know, on a crossbow.
I think we've had a couple of crossbow strings break, mm-hmm. just right out of the box. Like, I don't know, maybe 8 shots through them or something. Yeah. I honestly, like, I've had a couple that just break brand new. So like, I'm almost wondering sometimes how long has that stock been sitting, you know, like what you're saying is maybe it's been sitting a year, you know, and that tension on it the whole time didn't help it. Or, I mean, there could be things like a burr or something, right? I mean, there's other options that could have been on that bow, but I was thinking about the other day. In fact, what we should do is send it to Eric, have his team redo it. We'll see if that works then over time. So we still have that bow, but now I'm worried that it might, you know, yeah. could be compromised. I don't know. I guess we have to really look at it. Anyway,
yeah, we need to get it checked out.
I was going to say, what I was going to bring up is the one thing about this that, you know, I've been saying on this podcast for a couple of weeks, and Tim knows, but Eric hasn't been on, so you don't know, but you know, tricks are for kids, the color schemes, you know, like that's the thing. When I look at this, like, it's just so cool looking to me. Like, I'm like, that is going to look amazing when I put this on this bow. I just think that's where it's at. You know, we had this conversation with Easton about wraps being cool colors. You see a lot of customization now, you know, with arrow builders, like, you know, custom arrow builders. I think giving people the option to do these type of things, this is so critical to people wanting to have their own bow, their own personality in their bow. And that's why, you know, I thought in my head, you know, had you build these for us, was like, all right, how can I make this like just really unique and different and, you know, stand out in its own way. And I think you see that with these colors, and just, it looks absolutely incredible.
Customization's been, you know, that's absolutely key. And every time that we provide somebody an additional customizable option, And even when we think we're like, nobody will really do that, it's crazy how much that takes off. I'll give you an example. We decided to offer, you know, we try to control as much of our own supply chain as we can. So, you know, we print our own heat shrink, right? So the heat shrink that comes on these that comes over the speed knocks, you know, we print those logos. We started offering people the ability to, you know, to put their own customization on the, you know, on those. Yeah. Nice. So, and I can tell you, that's been, I can't repeat some of the things that have come through our website as far as, you know, what people have wanted to put on there, but I mean, it's anything you can imagine.
BHP.
And it's unbelievable. Wow. It's unbelievable what some people have asked for. So, it's cool, and people like that. Like I said, it's one other thing that just makes it unique. It makes it theirs. So,
well, and that's it. It's the thing that makes it theirs, right? They want to hold that bow and they want to go, this is mine. It's like driving a car, right? You drive around in your car and you always think your car is better than everybody else's car on the road because it's yours. And when you make it unique and you add and you shine it and you wash it, you know, you feel some pride in it, and it's no different than the ownership of a bow. And I would say, for that matter, for a gun as well. You know, there's a lot of guys that customize their guns as well for the exact same reason. They take pride in it.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And let's be honest, some of these bows out there ain't cheap, right? So if I'm going to go out there and I'm going to spend, you know, $1,100, $1,300, $1,400, you know, I want it to be different than everybody else's.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Eric, so what's your, okay, so like in a little bit different note here, you know, obviously you've been in this industry a long time and you've worked for bow manufacturers. You have like a lot of background in this stuff. So like my question is, what do you think is going to happen this year? Like, what do you think these guys are going to do from a bow perspective? I'm just curious what your thoughts are. Obviously, this is just, you know, your thoughts, but I'm just curious, like, where do we go from here? Like, what do you think could actually change or be done coming up here?
Sure. And I think, so... Yeah, to answer that question, I think you'll probably see a lot of small inline changes that, you know, probably nothing, you know, incredibly groundbreaking. you know, it's not that we haven't maxed out the technology or anything there. It's just, you know, it's really hard to, improve, you know. Everybody every year looks for something that's new and groundbreaking. And it's like, oh, you know, they're looking for that big wow moment, you know, the release of something that's completely new and different. And it's just, I don't think we're going to see it. It's not that we can't. I mean, there's, but you think about it, you know, what else can we do? Right. I mean, you know, or how do we get there? You know, how do we do something completely different? I mean, yeah, there's some things, you know, I think in riser design, there's some avenues, you know, that are outside of our industry from a material standpoint and some processes and everything else that haven't been tapped into. But, you know, from a camp standpoint and everything else, you know, we're not going to, you know, nobody's going to build a 33 inch, 7 inch brace height bow that's doing 380 feet per second. I mean, it's not, those are all a pie in the sky. It doesn't mean that we won't ever get there, but we're not going to get there in one fell swoop. And the one thing I say a lot of times is you look at these new bow releases, you look at the launches and everything else. And I think I look at it from maybe a slightly different standpoint because I've been in that world and I've seen what goes into, you know, even making small changes. I think some of the changes that these guys, you know, these top companies have made, you know, year over year, I think they're really remarkable. I think you look at, you know, I mean, look at where we are today versus where we are, you know, we were 5 years ago. I mean, some of those changes, you know, I think when you look year over year, you know, Matthews, for example, you know, you look at a phase 4 33 versus a V3X 33. And you're like, well, you know, it wasn't, you know, we got 8 limbs instead of 4, and we've done some things there. I think there's some pretty cool technology that's there. But if you look at that compared to, you know, where we were with a Halon, you know, or, you know, Triax or go back further than that, you know, and then you start looking, you're like, okay, yeah, we've moved the needle in the right direction, you know. And that's the same way with all the companies. I mean, you know, the cool things that you've seen, you know, from Hoyt, from PSC, from Prime, from, you know, all these companies, you know, across the board, it's been, you know, they've had some nice innovation. You know, they've moved some stuff and they've all moved in the right direction. So a lot of things, you know, even from a company perspective, it may be not new to that industry or the archery industry, but it's new to them. You know, it's not something that they've done before, you know, and they're not trying to do me too. They're trying to improve on what it is. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see, I mean, I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I'm a fan of archery, just like, you know, just like many other people are. I mean, I look at all of these, I watch these bow releases, just like everybody else does. You know, I have to look at it from a strategic standpoint too. Like, you know, as soon as we have bow releases, I need to make sure that I've got string specs and that's a big part of all that right there. But I love watching this new stuff. You know, every once in a while I get to get a sneak peek on a preview of something that's coming, just because of, you know, us needing to have, you know, string specs early. But I get all geeked out on all the stuff, you know, the new bow releases across the board. You know, I think it's all good stuff.
I think, I mean, obviously you're absolutely right. When it comes to the bows, everybody thinks they're mediocre changes, but the truth is they're actually pretty big changes. And when you think about like the V3 to the phase 4, there's massive differences between those bows, and the bridge lock concepts adding to both sides. You got the limb issue, the differences, you got the riser differences and updates. So yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think when people look back on it in history, be like, oh yeah, there was a huge difference between 2015 and 2023. You know, there's definitely that jump. I would ask you this though, thoughts on, was it a mistake to go away from dual limbs? Was it a mistake? I asked that question mainly because when you have a bow with just two limbs, you're allowed to play with narrowness, much more narrowness than a split limb bow, on top of the weight of the bow. I feel like by doing the quad limbs, what we've been doing over the last few years here, we have engaged more weight to the bow. And I know they're trying to offset that in like the carbon systems, but I guess what's your thoughts on that? Because when you look at APA, they're still doing dual limbs and they have tiny, sure, narrow bows that are lightweight, 3.1, 3.3. I mean, they're super light. So I guess what's your thoughts on that?
So the, you know, you get the lighter bow because you're doing it more in the limbs and your riser is shorter, right? As you want to go shorter with limbs, or you want to go more, you know, past parallel with limbs, it becomes very difficult to almost impossible to do that with a large solid, you know, piece of glass. The ability to go past parallel is significantly increased when you go to the smaller limbs, and then you support those limbs with basically, you know, nothing in between as far as that goes. When you go with a split limb, that creates, you know, the ability to go with longer risers, you know, longer risers, shorter limb. It puts a lot of the feel vertically up and down as opposed to forward. So I think that the change to split limbs has allowed us to get, you know, a lot more, I would say, stability in the risers, and to the point where, you know, we have, you know, not just stability, but we have that feel that everybody's looking for. You know, everybody's looking for this, you know, for the softer feel, for the lack of vibration, for all of these things. And I do believe that going that way has kind of helped in achieving that.
And last question with this stuff, last question. I that was one of these quick questions. Was it a mistake for Matthews to not have his solo cam bow anymore?
I think they've done a good job of coming out of that corner. If you asked me this question, you know, however many years ago, I would have, you know, they pushed the solo cam, right? I mean, they said that was the way, like that there was no other way. And I think that, so I would say this is that, you know, they marketed themselves and they believed in a system with the technology that was available. Technology changed, and they were, kudos to them for saying, hey, listen, you know, the system we have is no longer the best system that we can offer our customers. We feel that we can do better, and we're going to go back on, you know, what we said, and we're going to move forward, and, you know, let's go. And I give them total props, and, you know, hats off for them for, you know, it would have been easy for them to hang on for a couple of years longer and try to prove the point and argue why, you know, their technology was better. But they didn't, you know, they went forward and said, this is where it's at. This is better. This is where we're going. And, you know, and never look back. And I think that, that's all you can do as a company, really. I mean, if you think about it, if, you know, let's say we were building strings and we kept on doing something, and there was a new material or something that came out or, you know, something that was completely different, and we just dug our heels in and said, no, we're not doing that. I mean, I can only do that for so long. If I know there's a better way of doing something, you know, it's not fair to our customers. It's, you know, we want to provide the best product that we can. And I think that's everybody.
I think the interesting part is that, so I agree with that. Like, I think you're going to go the direction of what's best for the consumer. However, I also feel like, well, why would you still not offer a platform like that? And the only reason I say that is because they dominated this name brand, right? Solo cam for X amount of years. They moved back to two cam system, to the two cam system, which they do excellent. Of course, they do a great job with it. But the one key to this is that Bear Archery is dominating the one cam concept right now. They're dominating it. They're selling adapts like they're going out of style. Like, and so that's why I say, like, although to us, like maybe somebody who's at the level of, you know, $1,300 bows, $1,400 bows, maybe a solo cam doesn't make sense anymore, you know, because adapt's not that cost, right? It's cheaper bow. It's like $800, $700, $600, somewhere in there. So I just wonder, like, if Matthews kept a solo cam, just one model, like, let's say it's like a 28 inch Creed type model or something, like it says the classic or something, would those be selling instead of those bears? See, that's why I just wonder, you know, because I'm like, that's interesting, right? Because people are still buying single cam bows. They just call it a one cam. They don't call it a solo cam, but we don't think about it because everybody thinks everything's two cam now, but it's really, they're selling species EVs. They're selling these Adapt Plus that just came out. And I know from talking to them, it's like going crazy, those bows. So it's sure. Nuts. I just think it's interesting, right? It's like the company who was doing that doesn't do it. And now another company's doing it and doing well from it. I was like, that's weird.
Yeah, you might be right. And that maybe, you know, hindsight's 2020. I mean, maybe if they, you know, look back, if they had done that or done something in their Mission line or something like that.
That would have been an idea. Mission. Yeah. That would have been a good idea to keep that alive or even keep just one. But I know they tried. They did have one solo cam bow a couple years back that was still there. But I kind of look at like the Safari, like why not just have a solo cam option, you know, just one bow. Not it could even be every 3 years it changes, right? Just because I still think they would sell hot cakes because people still love, you know, that feel of a bow, even though we know it's not as effective or efficient, you know, as doing the dual cam. But yeah, I don't know. Anyhow, thanks, Eric, for coming on, man. Gas Bowstrings is amazing. Congratulations on your success. Honestly, it's been amazing watching this company grow over the years since we started BHP. And I know your background just made it even easier because you knew what you're doing. So that really helped out. But the quality is amazing. You know, check out Gas Bowstrings online, guys. Also, Eric is offering a discount for anybody who buys the archery repair kit. If you guys want to grab a set, throw it in your archery repair kit, or, you know, just put your ones now in the archery repair kit and get a new set now. So you have the better ones on right now while you're sitting there. Right. Or even better yet, buy two pairs, you know, I mean, come on.
That's right. Right on.
Eric, any last words, my friend?
No, I appreciate you guys. You know, I appreciate you guys inviting me on here. That was cool. Thank you, Mom.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.